The Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Join the Bill King Show now on the Cure Hotline. 615-844-5600.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
With us every Tuesday, right out of the break, right out of the first break, coming up, what, 15 minutes or so? Buck will be with us. Top of hour two, Gator Dave will check in down in Jacksonville. And a little later, hour three, Griff. That would be Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation. That's a little later. In that third hour, 615-844-5600. If you do want to dial us up today, 615-844-5600. On Twitter, at Bill is King. You can email the show, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. And we are on Facebook. Don't do a whole lot with it, but we are on Facebook. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your start to the week, Monday, was a good one. We've got 3 hours to occupy today. Three of them to occupy, and we plan on doing a good job with it, as we always do. Since about 1987, we plan on doing a good job with it. Yeah, not knowing what I was going to do. And then 1987, boom, radio. Out of nowhere, radio. How did that happen? I don't know. I don't know how it happened. It just mysteriously happened that way. We are inching very close to the playing portion of the season. Got to remember, of the rules we have here on the show, there's no such thing as the off season. The off season is where losers go to graze. We don't go there. We don't graze there. There is a playing portion and a non-playing portion. And we're about to hit the playing portion of the season. Jim and Jupiter threw out yesterday on Twitter, and I don't usually do this on my own, but I did retweet it. Yeah, I don't do this, but I did retweet it. He wanted to know, what do you think the record for your team will be? And I think an interesting team, not because I live here, but I think Tennessee is an interesting team. They exceeded expectations in year one under Josh Heupel, which makes you wonder, does year two get better? Or was that a year where they just surprised everybody? And year two won't be a surprise. That offense, as exhilarating as it became once they settled on Hendon Hooker as the quarterback, won't be a big shock to everybody this year. Or will it? will it still be as effective as it was a year ago once it got rolling? It's a good question. Young Calvin on Twitter. Bill, I think Tennessee goes 9-3. If Tennessee can find another tackle on offense, it could explode for 45 a game and even get to Roman Harper's 10-2 mark. I don't see it, but on the flip side, if they get hit by the injury bug, it could be down to around 7-5. Not a whole lot of player depth for Heupel yet. It's a good point. That roster is still lean. And they can't get beat up through the season and survive like maybe some other rosters could. That's a very good point. Can't lose the quarterback either. And he's a big guy, but again, they use him a lot as a scoring point guard. He's not a facilitating only point guard, Hendon Hooker. He's a scoring point guard, which means he takes a lot of hits. And he's listed, what is he listed, 240? I mean, it's not like he's tiny. He's a big dude. He's like 6'4", 230, 240. So he's built for contact, but still, I don't care how big you are, taking that many hits is cumulative on the body. 9-3, I think, would be an outstanding year. If you said, Bill, for Tennessee right now, you can take 9-3 or take your chances. I'd take 9-3. I know they don't let you do that. Yeah, that's not one of the rules out there, but I mean, if they said Alabama 12-0, Ohio State 12-0, or take your chances, I'll take the 12-0. Of course, that's easy, right? That's not losing a regular season ball game. That's a no-brainer right there. But yeah, a lot of you threw your names out there with picks for your team, and we'll see what happens. I mean, playing portion is the sodium pentothal. We're about to get to that. We're about to figure all of that out and see where everybody's at. By the way, Blake is very high on this kid that committed to Tennessee, this Jordan Matthews down there in Louisiana, a DB, and Tennessee is thin. Now, not that he can help this year, but they need DBs too. And he committed to the Vols yesterday. I believe Tennessee moved up to number 11. They were inside the top 10 there for a little bit in recruiting, but they moved up, I believe, with that announcement on Monday to right there on the edge of the top 10. Sam Dog down in Perry, Georgia. By the way, I'm going to be in Macon in a little over a month. I'm going to do the show from there, and I'll be down there speaking on the, what is the date? Today is the 16th. I'm speaking September 26th in Macon. Best I recall. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'll be down there. I'll be down there in Georgia. I was just, yesterday I had a couple of minutes. I said, let me map this thing. I'm told it's going to take me about 5 hours. I'm going to drive it. It's going to take me about 5 hours. Sam Dog, any week that you begin and you're not Florida and you also have a defending national champion in front of your school's name, that's a good week. He's talking about his Bulldogs, maybe. Who else is the defending national champion? Well, we're talking about the oblong spheroid. Josh up in London, Ohio, posts a picture of Woody Hayes. And if you don't know the story, after a game where Ohio State was up big over Michigan, Woody went for two late in the game. They're up big like 30 points. What does it say here? They're up 44-14, it says here on the picture. And Woody goes for two. And somebody asked him, why did you go for two there? And he said, because I couldn't go for three. That's not a three-point conversion play. It's a pretty good answer. You gotta remember, Harbaugh, I don't know that he'd go for two, but Harbaugh will score a touchdown on you. If Harbaugh is up 50-7 on you, and there's a minute to go, and his offense is driving, he's going to score. He doesn't give a rip what anybody else thinks. I look, it might tick people off, but I at least respect the I'm going to do it angle, and I don't care what all of you critics think about it. I respect that part of it. Would I do that? I probably wouldn't. If I'm the coach and I'm up 50-7 or whatever, and it's a minute to go, the other team has given up. The other team has said, we just won out of here. I don't know that I would tell my offense at that point, go ahead and score the ball. But then again, do you tell, let's say it's a bunch of backups, do you tell them not to compete? All you backups have worked your butt off all this time. You never get to play. Now you're in the game and the coach is saying, don't compete. I mean, that's a tough one. That one's not as easy. Maybe Woody going for two is. But that whole debate's not as easy as people make it. Tom in Myrtle Beach. Bill, it's going to take me about 5.5 hours to get down to Macon. Will we be able to see the show that morning? Well, Monday morning, I'm doing the show from the Wilco kiosk. And then I'm going to hop in the car and drive down there. The next morning, I'm going to do the show from down there in Macon. Now, I don't know yet where I'm going to be. Yeah, I mean, you're welcome. If I know where I'm going to be, I assume I'm going to do my show from where Bill Shanks does his show. But I don't know that. But yes, I mean, wherever I'm at, that's a good question, because I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know Macon. I've driven through it many times, but I know where we're doing the broadcast, but I'm just, we're doing the speaking engagement. I know that. But I don't know where I'm going to be for the show. I know I've got to find a spot. I do know that. I guess I've got, what, 5-6 weeks to figure that out? I'm a pro. I'm not worried about it, man. If I have to stand on top of somebody's roof and use a megaphone, maybe that's the show. Maybe that's the show I do the next morning. I don't know. Buck's coming up after the break. Charles Arbuckle. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Cleanup continues on this truck crash out here. Hopefully they'll have it back open sooner than later on 40 westbound at the West Loop. That's what we're looking at live right now. Again, it's in its clearing stages on this truck that flipped earlier. It's been uprighted, and hopefully they'll get it all out of here in just a few minutes on 40 westbound at the West Loop. Charlotte Abbott 17th, they're still on the scene of that earlier crash. With a huge demand for dental assistants, Dental Staff School can train you, help you get a job as a dental assistant. Google Dental Staff School. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Whether it's getting your day started with a clear mind, taking the edge off after a busy day, or hitting the reset button at night, Cure helps us be our most productive selves. Completely organic and free of THC, pesticides, and heavy metals, Cure focuses on specific need states with great-tasting CBD products designed to help you focus, chill, and sleep. And that is exactly what the Cure brand products are named. Focus, chill, and sleep. Now available at select Mapco locations. Visit thecurebrand.com to learn more and follow them on social media.
Realtors abide by a code of ethics. This is Article 9 in action. Beth, a first-time homebuyer, knew nothing about the home buying process. except that she wanted to buy a home. But her realtor had the expertise to make sure Beth understood every document, even giving her copies to review with her lawyer so Beth could close on her first home with confidence. Complicated things explained in simple terms. The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Nashville's first curling venue is here at T-Line Nashville. Come check out T-Line Nashville and experience the world's fastest growing winter sport today. Curling is a fun and simple sport that's a perfect outing for friends, corporate events, families, or parties. T-Line also has classic bowling and modern bowling mini games. With over 20 HD TVs, you can come watch your favorite teams and some of the best food and drinks here in Nashville in the large bar and grill area. They also have an outdoor area with a fire pit, and you can't forget the live music. T-Line Nashville. Nashville is a one-stop shop for a great night out. Located at 106 Duluth Avenue and online at tlinenash.com, you can book your party now or give them a call at 615-439-1024. That's 615-439-1024. And make sure you give them a follow on Instagram and Facebook at T-Line Nash for all the news, events, and updates. T-Line Nashville, Nashville's first curling venue, is here.
It's a Bill King show.
Johnny Vegas this morning. Again, hey, Bill, is Georgia football going to be any good this year? Asking for a friend. Georgia will be favored in every game that we know is on their schedule. They'll be very good. Georgia has recruited so well that they're better than everybody in the SEC East, even if they lost their roster. I'm not kidding about that.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Charles Arbuckle on Tuesdays over in Charlotte joins us. Bob, good morning to you, sir. Buck, I got you now. Good morning, sir. All right, let me know. Is he on yet? Buck, in just a second, will be with us. Charles Arbuckle. Gator Dave, top of hour two and hour three, a little bit later, Griff will check in with us, as he always does on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, Blake Ruffino, and we also have Brett Ciancia checking in with us from up in Pennsylvania. His magazine is out. Hope you ordered it, and I have it. I have it next to my new Nick Saban book right here. Yeah, that Kevin sent me a while back. Buck, good morning to you, sir. How you doing today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Josh up in London, Ohio, tweeted something a couple of minutes ago. It's from the past. It's back in the Woody Hayes days, and he's beating Michigan. Here's the story. He's beating Michigan really bad one day, and it's towards the end of the game. He's up 30, and he goes for two. In the post game, one of the reporters asked him, "Why'd you go for two there?" And he said, "Because I couldn't go for three." Here's my question. No, true story, Buck. Here's my question to you. Either as an offense up big late, or another team doing that to you, do you have any memories of that, college or pro?
I can't remember. We got beat pretty bad by Oklahoma my freshman year, but they didn't. I don't remember them pouring it on. It was just Jamel Holloway killing us, and then they, even with their backups, we couldn't get on the right track in that game. I never remember anybody. Because for the most part, in high school we were pretty good, so nobody ever got up on us and tried to run do that to us. So we never just had one of those games where we lost like that. So I don't remember that. I think we would have been pissed. And I've had a few coaches that I know, if they were in that position, they probably would have tried to do that to teams. So, yeah, that would have been interesting if you played that team the next year.
You know, it'd be interesting to go down through the college coaches and point out who would do this and who wouldn't. Harbaugh do that to you now. Harbaugh, if Harbaugh's up on you 45-0 and he's driving, he's not slowing down.
No, all gas, no brakes. I think, you know, that was what was interesting about Oklahoma, because that's when they had Barry Switzer.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you know, he didn't. But I think Barry's disdain was more for Nebraska and some of the other folks in the Big Eight at the time. You know what I mean? I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can think of a few coaches that would do that and not think twice about it. Jim being one of them.
No question. And you played with him up at Indy.
Yeah.
Nick Saban won't do that to you. He may beat you bad, but he's not gonna embarrass you the last minute of the game. I don't think that's in his. Spurrier would,
yeah.
Now. Spurrier will score on you.
But let's think about Nick, though. You just said that. Would he potentially do it if A&M, you know, if they're able to get up on A&M and just kind of get it going, and that little disdain that he has for Jimbo, or you think he'd still play the nice guy?
I mean, if they're up big anyways, I don't think he would purposely rub it in.
Yeah, yeah. Nick wants to beat you, but I don't see that. He's never done it to this point, right? That we can remember. You know, I don't remember, and maybe your listeners may say, oh, well, he did it here, but I don't ever remember another coach saying, you know, Nick Saban ran the score up on us.
Buck, you're from Texas. He's from Houston, played at UCLA. Word out a few days ago was that Quinn Ewers is not the starting quarterback, at least for the opener for Texas. Did that surprise you?
I was kind of thinking that could happen only because they were playing Alabama, and had he really got his footing? And it's been funny. Sark has said, hey, this is going to be a quarterback competition. There's no guarantee that Quinn is going to come in and start. I thought that was just lip service, but the more you kind of read and hear out of the camp, that might be the case. Maybe he's not quite ready, and they don't want to throw him to the wolves that soon. And I think the other thing is, if Quinn isn't, and Hudson Card is a starter, I think Hudson's going to try his best to hold on to that job, right? You know,
yeah.
So I'm interested to see if there's a situation where I can remember Homer Smith would do this when he was trying to make a quarterback decision. He would let quarterbacks in the first quarter, maybe the first half, go 1-1, you know, and kind of rotate some. He had a system each time, and it was a little bit different. And even when Troy was coming in initially, they were saying, hey, you know, he wasn't going to start right away. And we all knew Troy was going to start. But, yeah, you know, they had to make it sound like there was a quarterback competition. I think this might be a little bit different only because you've got a guy that has some experience, and then you got Quinn Ewers, who has not played really any significant football. And your first game of the year is against a team that you know has a defense that might be one of the best defenses in the last 10 years or so. So I think that's one of the reasons why. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I mean, if he's going to be your guy, you would think he could go in and win that job. But that's an interesting one. And that's what the first part of the season is always interesting to me, because we talked about all the hypotheticals, and then we get to actually see it play out. And we'll actually get to see what it looks like and what he looks like. And some of the things that what you've heard is, hey, he's good, but he's not quite there yet.
Yeah, they open with, what, Louisiana Monroe, and immediately they play Alabama after that. And that's where you get your true test. That's where you find out. Buck, I just happened to have it on the SEC Network on Sunday, and the Arkansas-Texas replay from a year ago was on there, and Arkansas bullied them all day long.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing with Texas, too, you think about the injuries they just had, right? Isaiah Nair, and then the offensive lineman, junior, I don't want to butcher his name, Anguilla, or however you say his name, you know, they already were struggling up front with, you know, you got a senior offensive lineman that's out with the ACL, and then you got a receiver who made plays for him as well who's out. So, and they also suffered some other injuries, which is not a good thing when you're heading into the season. So,
Charles Arbuckle with us each and every Tuesday talking football. You got the North Carolina Appy State game here just around the corner.
I do. I'm excited about that one. That was one of the games, you know, so I was looking at North Carolina's schedule after going up to see them in spring ball. And, you know, I talked to Mac about that. It's interesting. They don't go to, you know, Boone often, but You know that App State team is actually pretty good, and they're in contention for a Sun Belt Conference title. And I think the big thing is they've got some guys coming back. The problem for North Carolina is they've got to make sure they can run the football. So if it's Drake May or Jacoby Criswell, whoever the starter is at quarterback, doesn't have to do all the quarterback runs like Sam Howell. They've already lost British Brooks. And that's what I always try to see leading into the game. You know, you can go back and watch film, but you're also looking to see, hey, who is going to be available? Now, North Carolina has some really young running backs that they're excited about, but they lost their senior guy that they were really banking on and the one they brought to the ACC kickoff. Josh Downs is a receiver who's going to make plays for them. They've got some guys on the outside. But as much as I'm looking at their offense, their defense has to play better. And that's what Gene Chizik is saying. We've got to be better up front, especially when you have a team that has a Chase Bryce on the other side that's playing a lot better football than he did in his last few stops for App State. And they have a three-headed running back combination that's going to really give you some problems with Nate Noel, Cameron Peoples. So, I look at this App State team. They've got a veteran offensive line. They play well on defense. They give up some big plays, and they didn't play well against Western Kentucky. But for the most part, they're very good on defense. And if you haven't seen them, Stephen Jones Jr. is probably one of those guys that's going to be a high-round pick at the cornerback position for App State. So I'm looking forward to some of those matchups that I can see in my head. App State has a new offensive coordinator, but for the most part, they're pretty consistent with who they have coming back. And I think at Kid Brewer Stadium, I got to call games there years ago when they were in FCS. That place is loud. It's only about 30. They're going to probably get about 35,000, Bill, but it's going to be rocking that first night of, you know, for them of the season, and I'm looking forward to it.
From what everybody's saying, NC State's the better team. NC State's better than North Carolina.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Everybody asks me, you know, who's a surprise team. I don't look at them as being a surprise team. I look at them as being a team that, you know, has all the tools, especially on defense. They got 10 guys coming back on defense. They're pissed off that UCLA decided to back out of the bowl game, and they were still talking about that even during when I went up there for the spring game. They're using that as a chip and a motivation. But I'll tell you, Devin Leary, quarterback, is a really good player. Throws a nice deep ball. If they can keep him upright and keep him healthy, you know, they lost a couple of guys on the O-line, but I still think they're going to run the football effectively, and he can throw it well. Their defense is going to make plays for him. Tony Gibson has that style of defense, a 3-3 stack where they're going to come at you from all angles, and they lost two of their main linebackers last year, but by doing that, they've gained guys that played a lot more than they should have as young guys. So Peyton Wilson is back. I mean, they've got Isaiah Moore at the linebacker position, their defensive front. They think they can play about 9 guys. I'm interested to see when they play Clemson. You know, I think that's the game. I think October 1st is on their schedule. But a lot of people are talking about North Carolina State being the team that if this is a year they're going to do it, they have the best setup with the veteran quarterback and a really solid, filthy, nasty kind of defense that they're going to bring to the table.
Charles Arbuckle with us. High school ball. Buck, we've got games here Friday night. Are they also playing in North Carolina this soon?
You know, I think they are, Bill. I know there was some jamboree and some other stuff going on. I think they start. If I'm not mistaken, this week, you know, it's starting soon though, because I've been you know, passing by fields, watching guys work and getting ready. So I think high school football is right here on us. And I'm here for it. If I can make a game, I will early in the year, because once the season starts, I probably won't be able to. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out watching a couple of high school games, if not this weekend, next weekend for sure.
So is our Buckle with us. Buck, when you go back, and you played all the way up to Sunday Bowl, but when you go back to a high school game, not even your high school, does it bring back memories? Do you have flashbacks when you do this?
Yeah, it does. I go back to, you know, it's funny. I didn't play varsity until I was a junior. I mean, our team was that good. We had, you know, of course, Thurman was older than me by a couple of years, but there were a lot of guys on that team that ended up playing at the next level, you know, in college. Eric Andrews, Moses Horn. I mean, there's so many names. I don't want to leave guys out, but we had a lot of guys that could play, right? And so when I go back and I watch high school, I just think about my very first high school game. And, you know, JV, I had a great year. But that very first night, I was like, okay, this is it. I made it to the show. What am I going to do? And I went out and had a great game, had like 9 catches, my very first high school game. And that just kind of put me on the map, and I just kept making plays. And I think that's the part that I always look for. Who are the guys that want to get out there and just, when you get a chance, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to make the most of it? And I'm not saying every game was perfect in high school, but I can just remember consistently making plays and teams starting to know who you were and where you were. So you had to make sure you up your game every single week. And then it's also just nice to watch some of the kids that you've watched in high school then move on to become, you know, college players and even pro players. I mean, in Indianapolis, when I call high school games, Rex Grossman was one of the guys that I used to watch at Bloomington South or Bloomington North, one of those. And you could tell the kid could spin it. Went to Florida, had a really good career there, made it to the pros and played quite a few years. So it's nice to start watching where you see these guys and these, you know, dudes where you watch them from a high school perspective and you can kind of project and say, yeah, he's going to be pretty good if he doesn't have injuries or things don't get in the way. And a lot of times you can kind of tell who's standing out, even at that high school level, that may have some potential to make it to the next level.
Buck, we will see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Bill. Have a good one. Good talking to you.
Charles Arbuckle, just to remind you, you probably heard me say this, on his high school team, the tailback was Thurman Thomas, NFL Hall of Famer. Imagine you're 15 or 16, and you walk into practice, just wherever you're located, your high school, wherever you're located, and the tailback on your team, your high school team now, is going to be an NFL Hall of Famer. Now, at the moment, you don't know that. I mean, you know he's really good, but you don't know what the future is going to reveal, but still, that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how many people can say that. I mean, a lot of people can say, hey, on my team, we had this one guy, and he was good, and he did all this. That's fine. But can you say on my team, and you got to remember, Buck played all the way up to Sunday, played all the way into the NFL. So he's good too. But his tailback before he got to the varsity in high school was Thurman Thomas, who played DB too. Was really good at it. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I think we have blown through a break here, Devlin.
Is hiring for all 10 attractions offering great pay. Check it out online at ripleys.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time.
Span. It's time for baseball, and that means it's time to cheer on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, in the 2022 season. Attorney Klein Preston of the Klein Preston Law Group wants you to join him in cheering on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, for the start of the 2022 season. Here's to another amazing season for Braves Country here on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio.
Ad paid for by Anthem Tax Services. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes by up to 99%. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-297-0674 to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-297-0674. That's 800-297-0674. Again, 800-297-0674.
Dry rub wings are back at Slim Chickens. Fresh, fried, and full of flavor. Like smooth and kickin' cayenne ranch, zesty lemon pepper, or turn it up with new spicy Nashville hot. Try them today with a meal or feed your hungry crowd. But hurry, they're only back for a limited time. At Slim's, bold flavor is what we do. Download the Slim Chickens app to order and earn rewards.
The world champs are back. The Braves are out to defend their world championship. And behind Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Max Fried, and this loaded 2022 roster, a repeat is within reach.
Here goes Ozzie, 2-2 on the way. Hit well. Deep center field. Might have ourselves a tie ball game. You betcha.
And we'll bring you every huge moment of the Braves 2022 season right here.
The Braves, live here on Nashville Sports Radio.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Brennan, LSU, longtime QB, often injured, pretty inconsistent when he got to play, had some arm talent though, give him that, was really not even with the team, and remember Brian Kelly talked him into coming back a few months ago. Anyways, he's announced he's done. He obviously knows he's not going to be the quarterback for LSU. I'm sure. And I was talking to Blake Ruffino about this. They probably had a come-to-Jesus meeting about his quarterbacking, his future, and was told, you're not going to get the ball. So he has announced that he is stepping aside. Here's his tweet. What a journey it has been. I have given my all to this university and football team. I love every one of you. I will be a Tiger for life. 15 is officially signing out. That's nice. No, that was nice. That was pretty cool way to say I'm going to get on with the rest of my life. I've given the football thing all I've got, and it's time to move on. Dom up in Pittsburgh, PA, checking in today. Bill, if there's such a thing as an underrated guest on your show, it's Buck. He delivers every week. He's like the friendly neighbor next door. Buck's good people, man. I was telling Vaughn Broadnax about this the other day when we were at the Omni a couple of Fridays ago. It's pretty cool for me now to watch these guys well before I ever got into this business and before I even thought about doing something like this and later become friends with them. That is, it's weird in a good way. I saw Vaughn Broadnecks in those early 80s Buckeye teams. I saw Buck, Charles R. Buck Old, play for UCLA, tight end. I remember vividly watching him, and then later in life, being friends with him. It's just, it's enlightening. Yeah, Buck's really good. Buck's been with us since back in the Sirius XM days. Danny up in the NYC. Police officer up there. By the way, he said the other day, he tweeted this, they arrested a guy the other night who had 77 prior arrests. That's where we're at, y'all. That's where this American planet's at. Said, I remember Spurrier running it up against my alma mater, Central Michigan, in 1997. Beat them 82-6 that year. Yes, Spurrier is from the school of, that's not my problem. When he's playing a team, and it's one-sided, and the other team can't slow him down, that's not his problem. That's their problem. Now, again, some subscribe to that, some don't. Spurrier does not care what anybody thinks about that either. Me, you, or, and remember, his dad. Spurrier came from a very religious family. His dad was a preacher. Spurrier's dad, his job was as a preacher. That's how they ended up. Actually, his dad, now he grew up in Johnson City, right? But I think his dad actually was from down around Fort Lauderdale, Miami, right? Ended up in East Tennessee because of a church, but Spurrier don't give a bleep what anybody thinks about that. Harbaugh doesn't either. This comes from the Woody Hayes thing that Josh was talking about. Now, Clyde says there's some fake news in this. Here's the story. Hayes explained that the Bucks went for two because their center was hurt. Field goal kicker had to center. And then the guy that would kick the extra point received a blow to the head, so he wasn't able to kick. And Hayes admitted that they wanted more than 50 points. Now, that part kind of does endorse what Hayes was saying. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's fake news or not. I think there is some truth to it. Yeah, I do think there. Georgia Dog, Billy, against Michigan, Kirby ran it 16 out of the last 17 plays. I mean, that game was over early. Georgia Dog, I'm going to have to ban Georgia Dog. Georgia Dog, not ban Georgia Dog. Georgia Dog will never be banned. But I just meant, he's got to stop, like, protecting Georgia. Georgia doesn't need anybody's protection. Georgia just won the Natty. Stats about Georgia doesn't make the national championship better. It's already as good as it gets. It can get no better than what Georgia just did. Georgia Dog is going to, at least the Georgia stats. That part will be banned. Yeah, no more Georgia Dog stats propping up his dogs like they need it. On the show, they don't need it. Gator Dave, top of the hour. Now, you want to prop Florida? I know you're not a Florida fan. You want to throw some stats out for Florida? That's fine. They need it. Yeah, they need it. Tennessee needs it. Georgia does not need it. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic increased quite a bit, actually, in the last few minutes on 24 westbound. Coming in from Rutherford County, I-40 is busy in from Wilson County. Lots of radar out here this morning. Give yourself plenty of extra time, especially I-40 through Kingston Springs. They're moving a wreck right now on 24 eastbound, just past the 65 split there at Spring Street. Hey, with a huge demand for dental assistants, dental staff school can train you, help you get a job as a dental assistant. Google Dental Staff School. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update. Sign up for free daily sports betting coverage for the Vegas Stats and Information Network at vsin.com/newsletter. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Braves at the Marlins today. Atlanta -155 on the money line in Game 1. Miami at +130, 7.5 the set total. Max Fried placed on the 7-day concussion IL Thursday. College football week 0, only 2 weeks away. Some of the biggest games from week 1, September 3rd. Number 3, Georgia, a 17-point favorite over 12th-ranked Oregon. And a top 5 matchup in Columbus as number 4, Ohio State, a 1-point home favorite over 5th-ranked Notre Dame. Red hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com. For vsin.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
If you are a man over 40, listen up, because this could impact how much you're getting done during the day and at night. The harsh reality is, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. Here's the good news. Nugenix, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC, has changed the game again for men over 40 with Nugenix Total T. And guys all over America are raving about it. Jeremy P. says, this is the best product I found to raise T levels. And how about Shane D.? He says, I had no drive and was tanked out at the end of the day. After 3 months, my energy level is through the roof. I work out like most 19-year-olds. I am 47. Guys over 40, you need Nugenix Total T. And right now, you can get a complimentary bottle. Just text BEACH to 321-321. It's the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. But you can only get your complimentary bottle by texting BEACH to 321-321. That's B-E-A-C-H to 321-321. Text BEACH to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
State forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, mostly sunny, high near 86. Mostly clear tonight, low around 62. Sunny tomorrow, high near 87. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, low around 67. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show. Shit, man, I just lost my train of thought. All right, dude, here's a couple of phones. 3, 2. Call 615-844-5600.
Talking about how Spurrier's dad was a preacher. That was his life. Spurrier tells stories. I don't know if you've heard this. And I've mentioned to you, he can remember his baseball team in high school. He was a star pitcher, player, hitter. Spurrier did everything. He was good at anything. And remember, won the Heisman in 66. But he can name the moment, the situation in the last inning when they won the state. Baseball now. Baseball. He can go through. He also tells a story. Now, again, this is growing up, what, in the 50s and 60s, late 50s, 60s, what have you. So if he was a senior in 66, so 66, 65, 64, 60, so he grew up. He was in junior high and high school in the, what, late 50s, really early 60s. Steve Spurrier. Tells a story. Again, dad was a preacher. such a strict family that on Sundays, they were not allowed for a while now. He and his brother, Graham Spurrier, who passed away. Graham used to call the show many years ago, sounded just like Steve. And he lived all those years. He stayed in East Tennessee, in Johnson City. Worked for the Parks and Recreation. Anyways, it was so strict, his family, his dad now, that on Sundays you weren't allowed to go out in the yard and play. That was anti-religion if you did that. That was disrespecting Sundays, the Sabbath. And he said, one day my mom went and talked to my dad and said, you got to let them go out and play. That there's nothing wrong with that. And apparently he relented. Now, he tells the story. Can you imagine? Now, again, this is a few years ago, to say the least. But can you imagine being in a family so strict? And again, I respect that. I don't necessarily agree with that angle of it, meaning you can't even go outside and play, or can I cut the grass? And what am I allowed to do here? But he said my mom went and talked to my dad and said, you got to let the boys go blow off some steam. Go play, man. Let them go in the yard and go play a pickup ball game, or do whatever boys do when they're growing up outside. He tells that story. He tells that. Spurrier's such an incredible dude, man. Sam Dog. Spurrier is talked about in the book of Leviticus, and it's not in a good way. So, many years B.C., they were already talking about Spurrier in the book of Leviticus. Is that? I gotcha. DTS move. Bill, it didn't happen often, but it was a beautiful thing to watch. Tommy Frazier, Nebraska, I think, put up 60 on Spurrier, if I was correct. That was the national championship game of 1995. And again, we've talked about it several times. That might be the most dominant team, just score-wise, and lots of talent, obviously, ever. That 95 team, even though I think that 83 team might have been better, Nebraska team, that got upset by Miami in the Orange Bowl, in the old Orange Bowl, might be better. You might be better. Sam Dog, Spurrier hung 50 on us in Sanford just because nobody had ever done it. A rival is only a rival if they break your heart, and he did. Doug DiBiase, back when I was a football SID, I had to walk with a coach after a game to make sure he didn't go over and fist fight the opposing coach for running up the score. No punches were thrown, but there was plenty of colorful language being thrown around. I don't remember the exact circumstance, but it was the Jim Donnan era at Georgia, and I know Jim, and I know Fulmer, and Tennessee was beating Georgia, and I think, and I don't remember, it wasn't like 45-7 or something, back from what I remember, but they were winning. I mean, it was no doubt about the game's outcome. It was late, and Tennessee scored, and I remember the camera went to Donnan immediately, and he screamed, Fulmer. Like, why did you do that? I don't think anything really happened after the game, per se. I don't think there was much jawing after the ball game, but I remember that. Clyde, you're talking a lot about Spurrier this morning. Please don't bring up that subject to your third hour guest. No, I won't. I won't. I won't do that. I'll keep that part under control. Gator Dave, when we come back, we'll go down to Jacksonville. That's top of hour two. Griff, hour three. on this Tuesday edition. Blake Ruffino tomorrow. Brett Ciancia is tomorrow. Omni Nashville Hotel.